Hey everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. This is Miles on the Grid, and I'm your host, Miles. In today's episode, or this week's episode, we'll be reviewing the French Grand Prix, which took place yesterday. Now, the French Grand Prix, from a traditional perspective, has always been an exciting one. But recently, when the F1 team returned to Paul Ricard back in 2018, it was a bit of a Mercedes domination. We saw Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas almost lead nearly every single lap for the past 2 years, just before COVID hit us last year. Now, I was expecting much of the same. We didn't get that. We actually got a race where there was a lot of overtaking on track. We didn't have a safety car. We had a situation where strategy played a really important part, in a way similar to Hungary back in 2019, and also Spain earlier this year. So yeah, let's get into it, and I'll be happy to catch up about it now. So like I mentioned, this wasn't your standard French Grand Prix. It was actually quite a nice Grand Prix to see fans back in the stands. I know that we've seen them on occasions such as like Turkey last year, and a few other occasions like the Nürburgring, so the German Grand Prix. But it was nice to see fans. Qualifying was interesting. We saw Lewis and the Mercedes team, so Lewis and Valtteri, both struggle with setup initially. Lewis more than Valtteri. Now, there was a big hoo-ha made about the chassis swap that both Lewis and Valtteri undertook. And for myself, initially, I was a bit perturbed. I was a bit like, what's going on? Because, you know, why would you swap the chassis that Lewis and Valtteri both have? However, it made sense as I continued to look back at some data. So Mercedes actually did this year on year with Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton, even back in 2015 and then 2016 as well. So their viewpoint is that they don't want too many of their cars to take on excessive mileage, or they want to balance out and even out the mileage, and they continue to swap the chassis on a sort of rotation basis. I get that, and it may not necessarily make sense from a fairness perspective, because let's say, for example, if you're doing really well with one chassis, why would you want to swap and give it to your teammate? But I can understand from a sort of engineering point of view. You're trying to balance out the way. You're trying not to make sure that every single component is either damaged in the same way. But it also doesn't make sense. But anyway, it became a bit of a non-issue. Sky kept on going on and on about it. And I know that a couple of the commentators started to wind people up on social media by continuing to make it a non-issue, saying, is this the reason why Lewis was struggling all throughout practice sessions, and then even up until Q1. However, outside of the Mercedes team, it was a fairly strong qualifying from Red Bull. Red Bull were ridiculous with the amount of pace that they had this weekend, Max in particular. At one point in one of the practice sessions, he was up by 7/10. 7/10. He was over a second quicker than Hamilton as he ended, I think it was FP3 in first place, and then Hamilton was on fifth or fourth. So it just showed the sheer pace, or the sheer amount of hard work and determination that Red Bull have done in order to get back into a title winning contention. So I thought it was quite impressive, really, really impressive. And there were a few other standout sort of performances from quali as well. We had Pierre Gasly doing well once again. We had Valtteri Bottas showing that he's not there just to be a wingman, and not there at Mercedes just to be a number two. Perez, I didn't think, was as strong initially, and then he started to bring the pace, which was really nice to see. It led me to believe, and Fernando Alonso as well. How could I forget Fernando Alonso? Really strong qualifying, really strong weekend, but I'll touch on that in a second. So the qualifying sessions and practice sessions led me to believe that we could actually have an interesting French Grand Prix on our hands. Now, the race turned out differently from what I expected. I thought it would be a bit of a DRS train and then a procession to the end. However, Max was in pole position, hit his fifth one of his career and third of the season, or second of the season, I believe, technically, yeah. He ended up going wide at turn one, so he went off the track, managed to avoid the sort of safety the safety bollards themselves and the safety mini barriers, but it allowed Lewis to get hold of the race. I mean, Lewis and Max both made equal starts, and I thought that was quite good. Valtteri was pursuing quite heavily in third place, and then Perez seemed to get caught by Carlos Sainz initially for fourth place, and then he managed to recover throughout the race itself. It just seemed like the Ferraris didn't have the pace this weekend, and their strategy was slightly off as well. But hey ho, it's a race, anything can happen. Up at the front, Mercedes were doing quite well, so Lewis was managing his pace, so was Max, and so was Valtteri. Initially, they were setting blisteringly faster laps, but as they mentioned, the amount of wear on the tyres was higher than they expected. I think coupled with the heat and the fact that there was increased tyre pressures, it actually caused the sidewall of the tyres to start coming away a lot quicker and to start graying a lot quicker than they expected, which is quite interesting. Towards the end of the race, or even towards the middle part of the race, even at the start of a race, by about lap 11, we saw Daniel Ricciardo start to make a move on Fernando Alonso. Now, Alonso was quick throughout the whole weekend, but I just felt like Daniel Ricciardo had a point to prove. It felt like he was fed up with all the speculation about how bad he's been driving, or the fact that everyone's been focusing on it, because all the other mid-season movers are starting to come into their own, like Perez and Vettel and Carlos Sainz. And he put in a storming performance. You know, he ended up coming home in sixth place, which was fantastic for him, given the fact that he has been pretty poor throughout the rest of the year. Yes, he's had a few sessions, such as Imola, where he didn't do too badly, but then he was also told to give track position to Lando Norris. So a brilliant race weekend by Daniel Ricciardo, who seemed to be last of the late breakers as usual. We also had Sergio Perez making his tyres last longer than anything I've ever seen in my life. Fantastic job by him once again. And when he managed to pull off the pit stop, it put him in prime position to allow Verstappen to take the second stop, which Verstappen did. Valtteri Bottas and Lewis Hamilton, initially when they had their first stops and they were chasing down Max, I had a concern, and in one of the WhatsApp groups I'm in, I thought that they would start to eat their tyres because they were pissing in and putting on some serious pressure. But by remaining in Verstappen's backside, so to speak, I knew that they were going to be stuck in dirty air. So it was a bit concerning to see how much pressure they were applying to him. At one point, though, it did seem like Verstappen's tyres would drop off. So I was thinking maybe this is where Lewis and Valtteri can apply some tyre management, and maybe Mercedes have got it correct. However, that added benefit of having Sergio Perez as a sort of, not even a rear gunner, but as a partner in crime to Verstappen, has allowed Red Bull to mix up their strategies in a way which they haven't for years now. And it allowed Max to pull off a two-stopper, which Valtteri Bottas was really unhappy about over the radio, bleeping and cursing every 2 seconds, apparently. But he's right. Mercedes should have gone for a two-stopper if they wanted to win the race. Red Bull did, and it was a masterclass by Red Bull. They were determined not to be caught out once again like how they were in Spain. And Verstappen started to close the gap at a rapid rate. We're talking like 2 seconds a lap for the first two laps. Given that he was 18 seconds down, by I think it was lap 43, he was only 5 seconds off Hamilton, who was in the lead. So it just shows the sheer pace that he has. And yes, when he came to sort of challenge Valtteri Bottas, it could have been a bit more of a fight from Bottas, but you have to understand his tyres were completely shot as well. He had no rear grip, no front grip even, and he described it as he was just sliding around, and it was quite painful for the last 10 laps. So now we came to the crunch time. We had Lewis versus Max. Now Lewis's tyres once again were also gone, and he was putting a mammoth stint on those hards in order to extract the best performance and also stay in the race without popping a tyre. But yeah, Max was just too much, and Lewis didn't offer much of a fight, much to the derision of Nico Rosberg, who sort of criticised Lewis for being a bit soft, and whilst that's understandable, Hamilton's words from Baku come into my mind that it's a marathon, not a sprint, so maybe he saw the longer-term picture of not wanting to crash with Max, as Nico's done not many times in the past, crashing with Hamilton, when defending the position or trying to overtake. But hey, congrats to Max. It was a fantastic race weekend. He had pole, he had the fastest lap, and he won the race. So yeah, top strategy by Red Bull. Sergio Perez once again did amazing. Lewis was good. I don't think Lewis could have done anything more. But it just seemed like Red Bull had the edge all weekend. So maybe Christian Horner's words of if they can beat Mercedes at Paul Ricard, then they can beat them anywhere, will start to come true. So yeah, that was a sort of top three. Unfortunate for Bottas because he was running well all weekend. So I do feel like he deserves a touch of credit. He looked very fast this weekend. He just didn't seem to have that last bit of luck, which is often Bottas's case. So I felt a bit unfortunate for him. Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo, the McLaren dudes, they just seem to completely not care about tyre management. Everything seemed to work their way this weekend. So I'm quite happy for them in fifth and sixth. We also had Pierre Gasly. Yes, he dropped from sixth place on the grid from qualifying to seventh in the race. But once again, another really good weekend. I know the race did a sort of feature piece asking whether Gasly is now an elite tier driver. And I think he is. I honestly think he is. If not at just below the cusp, he's consistent with his performances. He's constantly racking up good amounts of data for the team whilst having been on the podium three times in the last 3 years. I think he's there. So I was quite happy to see him there. Then we had Fernando Alonso. He made that Alpine work. And it's interesting because he had said to the media a few weeks ago, by just before the summer break or by about the French and Austrian Grand Prix, that's when he expects himself to be at one with the car or to completely gel. Now, most of the weekend was focused on Esteban Ocon's new deal, which is completely understandable, given that he's a French driver and it's French Grand Prix and he just got a bump in new contracts and he's performing well. But Alonso just came alive. You know, the Alpine isn't necessarily the quickest, and with the fact that they've had to make changes to their rear wing due to the whole flexi-wing controversy, did that affect the pace of their car? Maybe. But Alonso just didn't seem to care. He was having good tussles all around the field, finished in eighth place, and it was nice to see the return of Fernando, the racer, because quite a few people, including myself, are thinking maybe he's not where he wants to be, and maybe he won't ever recover. So, yeah, that showed me what I know. In ninth and tenth place, we had Sebastian Vettel and Lance Stroll. Once again, fantastic effort by the Aston Martin guys. They have a knack, it seems, of wanting to pull off the weirdest strategies. And it just seems like they go long on the hard tyres. They both didn't manage to make it into Q3, so that gave them sort of free strategy when it came to their tyres. And Stroll in particular was caught up by a red flag in qualifying. So yeah, really, really impressive to see them up there. And it just shows that they're able to extract maximum performance from that car, regardless of the situation or the speed of the circuit. Notable mentions, George Russell in 12th place, fantastic, dragging his car from 18th on the grid. I cannot rave about Russell any more than I already do, so that just tells you the depth of his talent. And also, Yuki Tsunoda, I thought he did well, considering that he had to start from the pit lane. He's had an unfortunate knack of crashing recently in races, and it hasn't helped him as he's drawn the sort of ire of Dr. Helmut Marko, Red Bull's chief advisor. But yeah, he's got the pace. It's just a matter of, does he have the concentration? So that remains to be seen. But overall, a fantastic weekend for F1. This is the tightest championship that we've seen in quite a long time. That's not to say that Mercedes cannot come back, as we've seen for the last 7 years. But as Toto Wolff says, and they're focusing their development on the 2022 car, which to me is still no excuse, could this be the year that Red Bull actually overtake Mercedes? Potentially. And if Mercedes focus too much on 2022, who actually knows if their efforts will come off? Maybe Ferrari or McLaren or even Haas. I know, it's laughable given their place, but even Haas might be able to put up a title challenge in 2022. We just don't know. So that remains to be seen. But thank you once again for listening. It's been a real pleasure. And I hope you've enjoyed the last episode of Ayrton Simmons. It was a really interesting conversation. And I'll see you in the next one.